I'm sure that all of us are hoping that 2008 will be better than 2007. Better for us personally and better for us as a world. Don't you long to see the end of suffering and violence? It'd be natural to want that. And I would like to start this morning by saying that I have a word from God that you will have no problems in 2008. Three cheers for the preacher. But I can't do that because I haven't had such a word from God, and even if I had, you wouldn't believe me. On the contrary, the word that I have had from God, from the Bible, is that you will have problems in 2008. Isn't that great? You've got out of bed, you've come to church, and the preacher tells you you're going to have problems this coming year. I may as well have stayed in bed. Well, it pays to be realistic in life, and you wouldn't thank me if I told you lies. Find an outline of my talk in Contact if you want to fill in bits that are missing, or just take it home as a memory prompt for later. And I'd like to thank Rick Warren for the structure and some of the ideas in this sermon. Four facts about problems. Problems are inevitable. The Bible says in James, not if you face trials, but whenever you face trials, in verse 2. So you're going to have problems. They're called trials. They are a fact of life. They can be things that happen in you, like sickness or temptation or mental health problems, or they can be things that happen outside you or happen to you, like problems at work or in your family, or in the context of James, even persecution for your faith. Everyone has them, and if you don't have any problems, I suggest you check your pulse. You might indeed have a problem. M. Scott Peck began his book, The Road Less Travelled, with the line, "Life is difficult." And he went on to say, "Life is a series of problems." So they are inevitable. Secondly, problems are unpredictable. James says that whenever you face trials. The word face is the same word as the word used in the story of the Good Samaritan, a man who was going on his journey, minding his own business, when all of a sudden he was ambushed by robbers. He fell amongst robbers, or he faced robbers. So it's as if problems come along and ambush us when we're not ready. Not many of us plan to have a toothache or a plane delay or a family crisis. Problems tend to come when we least expect them and we feel unable to cope. Thirdly, problems are varied. Have you ever tried to match paint? The word here for many kinds means multicoloured or variegated. There are problems of many shades and varieties, and they vary in intensity, in duration, and significance to you personally. There's a whole lot of variety in problems. Some are minor inconveniences, like losing your keys, as I've done recently. Some are more serious, like losing your health. Some are very personal, like how do I help my child? Some are international or national, like living with drought in Australia. Now, so far, I haven't told you anything you don't know. You know that problems are inevitable, that they're unpredictable, and they're varied. The fourth thing, though, is the helpful one. And this is where the wisdom from the Bible can start to help us, start to give us something that can make our life different. And the fourth point is that problems are productive. They don't necessarily have to be destructive or destabilizing. They can be productive. Trials can change us for the better. And when we look at this issue from God's perspective, we begin to learn that God can use trials and problems for his productive purposes in our lives. Now, what are these purposes? If you have a Bible, I'm going to be referring to verses 3 and 4 of the reading that Jill just read from James chapter 1. So the first productive thing that can happen through facing some sort of problem is that problems can strengthen your faith. When things don't go right, it tests your faith if you are a believer. The strength of your faith in God is unknown until it is tested. And every time we face something that is troubling or problematic, it's another opportunity to exercise trust and grow our faith. The word for testing here has the sense of refining, as in refining the dross, the dirt, out of silver and gold to make it purer, stronger metal. So it's as if our faith is refined by the problems to remove the weaknesses that we may not have realised are in our faith, and so our faith is strengthened. As someone once said, Christians are a lot like tea bags. You don't know what's inside them till you drop them in hot water. Then you know, and your faith develops when things don't go as planned. Now, our church has been in a corporate test for some years as we have exercised our faith in doing this building program. And many times we've faced trials and problems that we wish had not happened. Now we're all dispersed to new venues like this one and others through the week. And there are lots of things that are happening that probably make life more difficult. And yet we are in this together as a course in faith development as a church, because God is much more interested in building disciples, followers, than he is in building buildings. Problems strengthen our faith. Secondly, problems develop perseverance. James says, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And the sense of the word perseverance here is of someone who is carrying a load for a long time. That's a great picture. It's such an admirable characteristic for people, that ability to endure, to stick at things, to keep going, even under pressure. Problems can strengthen our faith so that we can develop that characteristic of endurance. How does God teach you perseverance? By giving you everything you want in the way you want? No. By letting you face trials. Many of us don't like to wait for solutions because we are used to, particularly in a country like Australia, to having our problems sorted very quickly. We just don't like waiting around to get things sorted. But like a muscle that becomes strong when it faces resistance, so Christians learn to remain faithful to God over the long haul only when they face difficulty. There is no shortcut to it. So whatever you're facing, keep at it. God is at work in you and you will be stronger for it. And third positive outcome, productive outcome of problems, is that problems develop maturity. You see, perseverance is not the ultimate goal. God wants you to learn perseverance because it's part of his bigger goal of getting us to grow up. The testing of your faith, verse 4, produces perseverance so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. God's long-range goal for you, and you will squirm at this every single day, God's long-range goal for you is that he wants you to grow up and be mature and be like Jesus. You see, when Jesus was alive, he faced trials and he suffered, and he learnt to trust his Father, that his Father knew what was best. And Jesus learnt that. And he is our model for maturity. God's long-term goal for you is to grow up and be like Jesus. He is your model of Christian maturity. That's what God wants us to do. So do you see how this is about your character, not about your comfort? I know for some Christians that when problems occur, they start to doubt God or doubt themselves. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe I haven't prayed enough. Maybe I've made a big mistake. Maybe I'm not spiritual enough. Have I missed God's plan for my life? Well, you are, in some ways, whatever you're facing, you are in exactly the spot God wants you in. You are in a course on character development. He's making you like Jesus. And when you respond to your trials with faith and endurance, God will be helping you develop an integrity and a soundness of character and a godliness. That's what it means to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That your character has become more and more like the Lord Jesus. Now, you get to this stage and you say, well, if trials can be productive, if they can strengthen my faith, help me to persevere, and result in me maturing to be more like Jesus, what do I actually do to assist this process to happen? You've sold me, Peter. I want to be this sort of person. I don't want to be a kid. I don't want to be a spiritual child all my life. I want to grow up. I don't want to keep letting these things defeat me. So what do I do? Tell me. Well, rather than me tell you, I want to draw your attention back to the Bible, to what James tells us. Firstly, he tells us something quite surprising. So I'm now at how to respond to your problems. And the first thing he tells us is to rejoice. He says right at the outset here in verse 2, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Now, I think for many years I've not understood that verse. And I've actually not really liked it. I've been a bit with Luther, you know, let's get rid of James, particularly that verse. But when you realise that God's ultimate purpose through the trials is to grow you like Jesus, to mature you, then the joy that he's talking about here makes sense. We can face the trials realising that God has a good purpose in store for us. And the word consider means take a deliberate look, evaluate. It's what we are doing now, right this minute, trying to think and reflect, getting the right perspective on our problems. And we're learning together that God can teach us and grow us. And with that perspective, we then may be able to rejoice. Not initially, perhaps, but subsequently. It's a sign of maturity. It's not a masochistic joy. It's a realistic joy that sees problems for what they are. They are opportunities to grow in godliness. Many of you will know the name Viktor Frankl. He's a Jewish psychologist who spent time in a Nazi concentration camp in Germany. And he said this, "They stripped me naked. They took everything, my wedding ring, my watch. I stood there naked, and all of a sudden I realized at that moment that although they could take everything away from me, my wife, my family, my possessions, they could not take away my freedom to choose how I was going to respond." For some people, problems destroy them. They make them bitter, not better. Some of you today are sitting in that situation. I want you to again realize you are free to choose how to respond. And you can respond with the sort of joy that James is talking about, going, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what the solution will be, but I believe in you. And I'm going to choose to keep thanking you and praising you for what you're going to teach me in this. So choose to keep thanking God. I remember at our Thanksgiving service when I was standing here, Paul Sampson, a member of this church, stood up here. You remember Paul had an accident who nearly lost the top of his finger. And instead of being sort of frustrated and bitter and angry that he had this accident at church that nearly cost him a bit of his finger, he stood up here and told people how he thanked God that people got him to hospital. He thanked God that there were doctors there to help him. He thanked God that in the end he didn't lose his hospital. He stood up here with the perspective that James is talking about in verse 2. So if the first thing that we can do is choose to praise God and to find that deep joy that knows that God is at work, the second thing we can do is to pray. What do we pray about in the midst of problems? My natural prayer is, God, please solve it. God, please remove it. That's my natural prayer. That's a very fleshly prayer, but it's a very human prayer. I've been chastised by verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all. We ought to pray for wisdom in the middle of problems. And I was trying to figure out, well, what does wisdom do for me in the midst of a problem? And in the context, what it means is we pray for God's wisdom to see the opportunity to grow. Now, I don't like that. I don't know if you like that, but I don't like that. And the thing that happens is if you're facing some sort of problem now and it's an opportunity to grow, if you don't learn the lesson God wants you to learn now, He'll give you another opportunity to learn it. He's very patient. Remember, you're in a course on character development. Okay, klutz, you didn't learn it this time. Let's try that again. Let's take you back through that. Now, wisdom sees life from God's point of view. It's a wise thing to learn the lesson the first time. Oh, Lord, teach me what you want to teach me through gritted teeth. You know, sometimes we're not very holy when we pray. But James is saying, pray. And pray for wisdom. And some of you today need God's wisdom to see, in the midst of whatever you're facing, what is it that God wants to teach me? So a better prayer would be this. What do you want to teach me, Lord? Give me your perspective on this. Help me see how I can grow through this. Please help me. The last thing that we can do follows on from prayer, and that is to trust God to know what's best. Verse 6 says, when you ask, which is what we've just done when we've prayed, when you ask, then you must believe and not doubt. That's what's called faith or trust, and it allows you to relax and believe that God is in charge. If you keep worrying or doubting, James says you're like a wave that is being tossed around on the sea, and you will never have peace. You will be able to put on a front that says, yeah, I'm at peace with this, but inside you will not be able to have peace unless you pray and do not doubt. Do not doubt God's goodness and that God is in trust. A calm trust in God's goodness is balm for the soul. It allows you to sleep at night. And it's easier to have this when you're lying on the beach. It's harder to have this when you're in the midst of the problem. A friend of ours has just had a stroke. What makes it worse is he is only in his 20s. What makes it even worse is he's a medical student. The top of his tree, 99.95 or something, some years ago. He's approaching his final year of medical studies. I was talking to his mother on the phone the other night. You know when he had his stroke? New Year's Eve. You know what he was doing? He was out on the beach as a part of a Scripture Union mission team talking to people on the beach about Jesus. And he came back and had a stroke. Now, it stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? And you think, Lord, there's a young bloke who's got his whole life ahead of him and he's about your business. What does that all mean? And I was talking to the mum on the phone, who's a good friend of ours, and she said to me, we are completely trusting God. We know that God is here with him in hospital. We are totally at peace with God at this moment. That's what it means to trust God and not be tossed around. The team who were coming to Kenya on our short-term mission trip met and we talked and we prayed, and we've had to cancel our trip. Now, our trip is very secondary in my thinking. The primary issue is the nation of Kenya. When I was last in Kenya in 2004, I was struck by how many churches there are and the overt Christianity that can be seen everywhere on the signs of taxis and shops and all of that sort of thing. And I look at a nation like that and I think, well, why would God allow that? Now, what James is telling me is this country is facing a problem. It's an international problem, not just their own now. And as a country, they have an opportunity to grow. And so we pray for them and we trust God. Trying by these two examples to show you that this has to work in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the realistic things that happen at our own personal level and at a national and international level. Otherwise, it's just all good talk, isn't it? So we pray and we trust God so that we are not blown around like waves on the sea. Some of you are going through some tough times right now. I know some of you have had deaths in your family over the summer. I know some of you have had to take children to hospital. I know some of you are supporting people whose marriages are in trouble. Some of you are doing it very tough. God hasn't given up on you. He knows exactly what you're facing. And He is with you. And He's asking you to see with the eyes of faith what it is that you can learn through this. How can you be strengthened in your faith? God has the power to change the problem. No doubt you're praying that God would change the problem. He's a miracle-working God, and He can do that. And He could do it in a snap. But there are some things that won't change this side of heaven, and we won't know why. But what James is calling us to do is persevere and remain faithful and grow stronger, not become bitter and frustrated and anxious, but to grow stronger and to trust God more. The greater purpose is what He wants to do in us, to build our character, not solve our problems. There's a fantastic promise, and I'll finish here, in James chapter 1, verse 12. If you have a Bible there, let's finish with this. It says, "Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial." Blessed is that person. "When they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." So when you love God and you persevere, you are blessed by God in this life and will receive the crown, the prize of eternal life in eternity. What a great encouragement to persevere. I'd like to pray for us. And as you come to communion this morning, it may be that you need to come and as you hold out your hands to receive again from God the grace that He offers you to endure and persevere and the courage to face whatever it is. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You that the Bible is realistic about life, that life is full of problems and issues, and the Bible acknowledges and recognises that. And Lord, those of us here who try to be followers of Jesus, we want to grow stronger as we face our problems. And I pray, Lord, for each person here this morning. May by Your help, Lord, would You give each person the strength and the courage they need today. Help them, Lord, to persevere, to pray for wisdom, and to trust You. And Lord, for those here this morning who may not be sure about You, I pray, Lord, that they would learn that You are someone who can be trusted, and that they would look to Jesus and see someone there who lived a real life, a life that involved suffering and even death. And please help every person here to put their faith in Him and trust Him. We pray it in His name. Amen.